Hello, my name is Chip Ling, and you are listening to Total EM. For this week's podcast, we're going to talk about C. diff, which we know as Clostridium difficile up until recently when it changed to Clostridioides difficile. And that one threw me off a little bit as I was doing some research on this. But since this is a popular topic, not only C. diff, but the way of how we've done some of these podcasts where we do like basically a top 10 list, we decided to go back to this again, and that's what we're doing right now. The article that we're referring to throughout this is all FOMED, Free and Open Access Medical Education, through the BMJ. So if you go to our website, which please do, if you're not doing this regularly, this is a way to catch a lot of information in the citations with this, as well as a nice outline. So go to our website, totalem.org, and check this podcast out. On that page, you will see the link to the BMJ article as well as multiple other articles. Most of them are actually free and open access as well. So, like I said, we're going to hit this in 10 of some of the key pearls that you need to think of. The paper even goes into more detail on each one of these subjects as well as some other unique things to keep in mind as well. But I thought that these 10 points were the keys that at least can give you a rough outline and a good quick reminder of when you have a patient that you're considering C. difficile or wanting to know a little bit more just before you start interacting with a patient who may have C. diff. So let's go through the list. Number one, fulminant life-threatening colitis is a rare but serious issue. So shock, ileus, megacolon, those types of things occur in less than 5% of all cases. The mortality rate, though, is 35 to 50% in this group. The next thing to keep in mind, number two, is that recurrence should stay in your differential. So within the first 2 months, the recurrence rate of symptoms can be 15 to 25% after that first episode. And also, we have to keep in mind that each time someone is exposed and is sick from C. diff, that they have a chance of getting it again. So subsequent recurrence rates do increase over time. But even in the first couple months, even if they were recently treated, if they are still symptomatic, meaning they have multiple unformed stools daily, which we'll talk about here more in a minute, we need to keep in mind that this is most likely a persistent or recurrent infection. The third point is asymptomatic colonization does exist, especially in young children, which we'll talk about more in a minute. But 4 to 15% of healthy adults, if they were tested, would have asymptomatic colonization. So they would have the spores present, but no symptoms, meaning that loose, watery stool that we're used to seeing with C. diff. It is detected by the shedding of spores, so that's why when we do test, they may have it there. And the colonization can be either transient, meaning maybe a single episode, or persistent. Number four, consider the possibility of community-acquired infections. So more than 25%, in some cases much higher. One that I was reading was up to 40% of cases are community-acquired. What that means is they're not getting it the traditional way. So these are usually younger patients who don't have associated antibiotic use or recent healthcare exposure. So they're getting it by other means. And this may be unrecognized in many ways or underrecognized due to the lack of screening in community settings or in primary care settings. Now, whether or not that means that we need to do a bunch of screening, that's still hard to say. But just keep in mind that community acquired rates are pretty high, and we should keep that in our differential when someone doesn't have the traditional risk factors, but maybe the parts of the story that we need to otherwise consider as being potentially related to C. diff. Number five is when to test. So patients with diarrhea in a healthcare setting, simple as that, is a good way to think of it. If they have negative results for the other usual GI pathogens and inflammatory colitis, enteral nutrition issues, or other kind of inflammatory issues have been ruled out. So these are basically the ones where there's an infectious cause, but we're not really sure what it is, especially when it's not resolving. And these need to truly be unformed stools. So talking into point number six, when not to test. So if they've used laxatives in the past 48 hours, sometimes that under detects. Also, no diarrhea. So if they don't have diarrhea at the time, don't test them. We're looking at diarrhea as a couple of different definitions. The one that's primarily used with the BMJ article talks more about is three or more unformed stools in 24 hours. But there's another criteria that has been defined as three or more unformed stools for at least two consecutive days. Also, like we talked about very briefly, don't test patients less than a year old. They often have asymptomatic colonization. And since those buggers usually have diarrhea anyway, or at least looser stools, that may be something where it's going to lead to false positives and we're over-treating these. So in most cases, those less than a year old, we really should not be testing them. As briefly mentioned, in this point number seven, only test unformed stools. So these are stools that should take the shape of the container, or also described as Bristol stools types 5 through 7. This avoids a positive result in someone who is asymptomatically colonized. And what that means is that, again, going back to that incidence rate of asymptomatic colonization, if we're just testing everyone who comes in, if they have formed or unformed stools, the unformed stools probably are related to a C. diff infection versus the unformed stools that do test positive for C. diff. Most likely, at least from the way infection works with this, is that this is someone who has the colonization but is not actively infected. Number eight, do not perform test to cure after treatment. Like many things in medicine that we're finding out, the test to cure is not necessarily appropriate and can sometimes lead to over-treatment in other ways. So we were talking about this recently with UTIs. Now we're going to talk about it in the sense of C. diff. The spores or toxins are detectable in 7% of patients post-treatment, and up to 56% will have a positive stool culture for the next 1 to 4 weeks post-treatment despite symptom resolution. So remember, if they don't have symptoms, don't treat it. And remember that the cultures will be positive for a while, just as well as the spores and the toxins can be detectable for a period afterwards. So again, do not perform test to cure, because that seems to be something that happens a lot in certain communities or primary care settings, or maybe when someone gets admitted to the hospital, they're getting recurrent testing. But if they don't actively have diarrhea, then really we shouldn't be going down this route. Okay, number nine is a big one. So there used to be the trend that we would use metronidazole. A, it was cheap. B, it seemed to work well. What we found out over the last couple of years with some more recent evidence, this is no longer the recommendation. So metronidazole is out. Basically, unless you have no access to the other medicines, the person just simply can't afford it. You may try it then. But realistically, vancomycin is the one that we're using. And keep in mind, this is oral vancomycin and not parenterally given vancomycin. Because of the way of the treatment and how this needs to work, we're looking at giving oral vancomycin for these patients. And there's a couple different ways to treat for this. And essentially, you can do this over several days. It can sometimes be done much longer, especially with the rate of recurrence, is that you'll start doing a tapering dose. But these are things that it's worth looking at, because the guidelines have been changing over the last few years, which can easily be found through a number of websites and through the IDSA as well as others. Me personally, this is just what I do, not that I'm getting endorsed in any way to do this, but I use Epocrates just because it's an easy app to use. I can pull it right up and find the exact dosing guidelines for oral vancomycin for C. diff. But just use something to help get this out and figure out what you need to use. The last one is point number 10. And that is, if there's recurrent disease, especially if after multiple episodes, you know, not just like one case or two cases, but really 3, 4, 5, 6, it's starting to interfere with someone's life in many ways, that's when we really want to consider fecal transplantation. And when I first heard about this many years ago, I was blown away by the fact of how you do this. And there are a couple of different ways of how the procedure can actually be done. But the important thing is it has great efficacy and overall it's fairly safe. There have been some case reports of issues. There was at least one death related to one of these transplants. But in most cases, this is actually pretty safe, pretty effective, and can really help get people back on track when antibiotics have failed. As far as the delivery, like I said, the procedure's changed over time. Some of this is done by enema. Some of this is done orally. And I have to use this joke, I'm sorry, but they have to eat shit. Not literally, What they are doing, though, in most cases is a nasogastric or a gastric tube and pushing the fecal transplant that way. What seems to be more common nowadays, though, is the enema. So my jokes get to go away with that. But the transplants do seem to work very well. And like I said, it seems to be something that is really beneficial for a variety of patients. So to go back and let's do the top 10. Again, we're just going to hit the key points. So number one, fulminant life-threatening colitis is rare but serious. Number two, keep recurrence in the differential. Number three, asymptomatic colonization does exist. Number four, consider the possibility of community-acquired infection. Number five, remember when to test. And number six, remember when not to test. Number seven, remember to only test unformed stools. Number eight, do not perform test of cure after treatment. Number nine, the main treatment these days for C. diff is vancomycin orally. And number 10, if recurrence, think about doing fecal transplantation or at least offering it to the patient. All right, so that wraps this one up. Please, if you are listening to this, you enjoy the content, you want to learn more, or you have more questions or thoughts on this, share that with us. We've been getting recently some different requests, so those will be coming down the pipeline as well with our other podcasts. But make sure to reach out to us, keep commenting. We really like to see it on social media, but also it's really helpful on the blog site because then more people can see it as well and not just the people on that particular social media. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.